Now you will hear segment two.
Since the mid-1950s, surgeons have made great strides in their ability to implant organs in people who are seriously ill. Here to tell us about recent trends is Marie Miller, a medical journalist who has written a series of articles on the ethics of organ transplant. Marie, can you give us some background, please?
I'd be happy to. At the turn of the 21st century, more than 20,000 internal organs a year were successfully being implanted into patients in the United States. Improved surgical techniques are partly responsible for the success of organ transplants, but a more important factor is the development of drugs that can suppress the body's rejection of the implanted organ without also leaving the patient highly susceptible to infections. But success has also created a major problem. As the demand for organs has grown, it has outstripped the supply of donated organs. In the year 2000, more than 55,000 Americans were on a waiting list for organs or tissues. Each year, close to 4,000 die before a donated organ can be found.
From what I've read in your articles, this means that the transplant field is haunted by a number of ethical issues. How do doctors determine which of the people on the waiting list get a transplant?
Well, with few exceptions, a donated organ goes to the patient who is nearest death, even though a healthier patient might benefit more by living longer after the transplant. Money is also a major issue. Access to transplantation is impossible without access to good primary medical care and good health insurance, both of which are largely unavailable to the poor. To be placed on the waiting list, patients must show that they can pay for the transplant. In the year 2000, a kidney transplant cost about $35,000, and a liver transplant as much as $200,000 in the first year after the surgery. Many insurance companies do not cover such costs, particularly for new procedures, such as lung, pancreas, or multiple organ transplants, which are still considered experimental.
What other issues are involved?
In the United States, where organ donation is voluntary, ethical questions also arise over the nature of the consent and the use of incentives. Intensive donor solicitations in recent years have not made much of a dent in the shortage of organs. Even though many people sign organ donor cards, their families are often reluctant to grant permission at the moment of crisis. Debate still exists as to whether family members should have the right to refuse donation if the deceased signed an organ donor card. Some experts have also suggested that family members of organ donors be given financial incentives, such as cash rebates, estate tax discounts, or payment for burial expenses.
Is there any hope of ever lessening the waiting lists?
As a matter of fact, there is. Today, surgeons are beginning to get around the shortage of donors by exploring the possibility of using wholly or partially artificial organs. Already, there are many artificial devices that are used to restore the operation of malfunctioning organs without the whole organ having to be replaced. Examples include artificial heart valves and pacemakers, as well as artificial skin, artificial pancreases, and cochlear implants to restore hearing.
Well, that is good news. Thanks for putting us in the picture.
Now you will hear questions 41 through 45. 41. In the speaker's opinion, what factor has contributed most to the growing success of organ transplants in the United States? What problem has this success created? 43. Under current guidelines, who would be first in line to receive an organ transplant? 44. What is true about people who sign organ donor cards? 45. How do surgeons intend to cope with the practical and ethical problems that still surround transplantation?